From North State Public Radio, I'm Andre Bayek with your headlines for Tuesday, November 8th. We have a busy election lineup to get to, but first we start in Butte County, where today marks 4 years since the campfire devastated Concow, Paradise, Magalia, Butte Creek Canyon, and the surrounding area. On November 8, 2018, the fire claimed 85 lives in Butte County and forever changed the lives of so many others. November 8th has been officially designated Campfire Remembrance Day by the Butte County Board of Supervisors. At 11:08 this morning, NSPR will join a countywide moment of silence by quieting our airwaves for 85 seconds, each second representing one of the lives taken in the fire. We hope you'll join us in remembering and honoring our community members and those currently working toward and helping with recovery. Moving to the election, today is the last day to cast a ballot in this year's midterm election. In Shasta County, Registrar of Voters Kathy Darling Allen says her office has received 22,000 ballots as of Friday. She says she expects today to be the busiest voting day.
It could be 2 weeks before we have a good idea about who the winners are in the election here in Shasta County, and it all depends on the margins.
Darling Allen says she understands that people want to know the final vote tally as quickly as possible, but
I absolutely would encourage folks to be patient. There's information on our website about how the count works. We're happy to have visitors here, but we do want to make sure that every single vote counts, and so we take a lot of care and time.
Voters can return their ballots by mail if they're postmarked by Election Day today. But if you haven't sent in your ballot yet, Darling Allen advises putting it in an official drop box instead, or returning it to a polling location before 8 tonight. You can find a list of polling locations and drop boxes in Shasta County on our website, mynspr.org. And if you haven't registered to vote, you still have time. Cap Radio's Janelle Salonga has more.
Anyone 18 or older who's a California resident and a U.S. citizen is eligible to vote, including people formerly incarcerated and those experiencing homelessness. California allows same-day voter registration, so you can cast a provisional ballot by visiting any vote center in your county up to and on Election Day. Here's Jana Haynes with Sacramento County on a scratchy phone line on what provisional voting is.
You will get a ballot for your precinct, cast your ballot, and then our office will hold that ballot aside, verify your eligibility as a voter in Sacramento County, and assuming that that all checks out, then we process your vote after your eligibility is verified.
Voter guides with information about your ballot will also be available at vote centers. At some, you may be able to request your ballot in another language, such as Chinese, Vietnamese, or Spanish. Janelle Salonga, Cap Radio News.
Once Election Day wraps up today, how long will it take to learn the results? Cap Radio's Chris Nichols has this preview.
We should get partial results shortly after the polls close at 8 tonight. Those early numbers will come from mail ballots, returned well before Election Day. But that's just the beginning. Updated results should arrive a couple hours later, from ballots cast today in person. Still, the outcome of close races might not be known for days or weeks. That's because it takes longer to process mail ballots. Those have to be postmarked by today and can arrive up to 7 days later and still be counted.
We have this election night tradition of parties and news coverage and excitement.
That's Kim Alexander with the California Voter Foundation.
And that tradition needs to be adjusted because we no longer have election day and election night. We have ballot counting month.
There is one thing voters could do in the future to speed up the process. Turn in mail ballots earlier, says Sacramento County's Jana Haynes.
If you drop your ballot in a drop box or back in the mail on Election Day, it probably will not be processed for 2 to 3 days.
All polls and vote centers close at 8 tonight. In Sacramento, I'm Chris Nichols.
And millions of dollars are being spent on last-minute campaigning as we get closer to the polls closing for the midterm elections in California. But it's not the candidates spending most of this money, it's outside interests. Ben Christopher covers politics and elections for Cal Matters. He spoke with Cap Radio's Randall White about his recent reporting on this big money election issue.
Ben, your reporting looked at state Senate and assembly races here in California and then broke down the different pots of money when it comes to campaign spending. Help us understand the distinctions between what's known as IE spending and then direct fundraising.
So if you've opened your mailbox at any point in the last 4 to 6 weeks, you've probably seen more than a few of these mailers. And sometimes these come from campaigns of the candidates themselves. But often they come from these third parties. These are known as independent expenditure committees, or IEs, as you put it. And they spend to support or attack a candidate, but aren't legally allowed to work with or coordinate with the candidates that they're trying to help. And unlike a candidates committee, which are subject to campaign contribution limits, independent expenditure committees can raise as much money from a single contributor as they can raise. And so for interest groups, this is often a preferred way to influence California's legislative elections.
And how much money are we talking about?
So at last count, we're looking at about $38 million. And in the broad sweep of things, that's not actually very much when you compare it to these traditional direct contributions across the state. But what distinguishes IE from a lot of these direct contributions is that direct contributions are going to virtually every candidate in the state, but IEs are really hyper-concentrated in the most competitive seats. And so if you look at the top 20 candidates, that's about 80% of the spending right there.
And the most extreme example of IE spending is in a Sacramento race, is it not?
That's right. And so the most expensive race by IE is the 8th Senate District, where you have Angelique Ashby and Dave Jones, two Democrats. And this is actually quite common in a lot of the IE races, where you have IEs trying to pick their preferred flavor of Democrat. But Angelique Ashby is number one, the top beneficiary of IE in the state. Dave Jones is number three.
And your reporting explained how this can be a double-edged sword. Of course, the money helps the candidate, but then it also opens them up to other attacks.
Well, that's right. And particularly in the case of Angelique Ashby, where she is one of the top beneficiaries of IE from the oil and gas industry, you have Dave Jones himself and supporters of his campaign just hammering Ashby as the oil candidate. And for Ashby, you know, her campaign, I'm sure they like having all the spending to benefit them in the campaign. But on the other hand, it comes with the label of Chevron or whatever large oil company is spending here. And so it opens her up to that label, even though these are not contributions being made directly to her campaign.
Ben, do campaign ads funded by these outside interests tend to take on a different tone?
Yeah, often you will see that these are more likely to go negative. And in part, there's a political strategy to that, because voters just don't generally like it when candidates attack one another. So if you have this outside group playing the role of the mudslinger, I think, at least in theory, it could help insulate the candidate that they're trying to help.
How is it that we're able to figure out who's behind this money?
Well, it's not always easy, which I can attest to, which is why I wrote this whole article about it. But there are some disclosure requirements in California law. A new one requires on mailer ads and on TV ads to list their top three donors. So that gives you some indication of where the money is coming from. Otherwise, it is listed on campaign finance databases listed by the state, but it does require a little bit of digging.
CalMatters politics and elections reporter Ben Christopher speaking with Cap Radio's Randall White. And finally, you can join NSPR tonight for live local, statewide, and national coverage on races for office, ballot measures, and more. After polls close at 8 tonight, we'll also have results and analysis on statewide and national races, as well as live results for local races as they become available on our website, mynspr.org. And those are your headlines for Tuesday, November 8th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. And in case you missed it, in part one of NSPR's Sounding the Alarm series, Butte County fire survivors say emergency notifications are falling short.
People were not getting notified. They weren't driving through the yards. They weren't honking horns. They didn't have that special siren that they come up with.
You can hear that story in yesterday's headlines and find it on our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Andre Bayek.